Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Rita Goldberg, and she's the founder of British Swim School Franchise, a swimming school concept that she started in the UK and has since brought over to the U.S. British Swim School teaches children as young as 3 months with a technique based on water survival skills first and swimming technique second, and that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Rita Goldberg, and she's the founder of British Swim School Franchise, a swimming school concept that she started in the UK and has since brought over to the US. Hi, Rita, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Marty. I'm doing great. Thank you. We're down in Florida.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. We were so excited to have you on the show. We have a four-year-old son, and so the show is very timely because we're getting ready to send him to swim school. And I was looking at the statistics and things like that, and this is a very important concept, which, you know, we're going to talk about. So, first off, where are you calling from this morning, Rita?
My corporate office is in Florida, so
Can
imagine, yes, we have great weather year-round, and unfortunately the biggest drowning statistics in the country. So
of course,
it's a dual-edged sword.
Of course, yeah. So how did you get involved in this whole concept? I know you have an amazing background. I mean, what were you doing before, I guess you could say, starting at British Swim School?
Oh, I worked in the education department of a sports department in the inner city part of Manchester in England. And having a swim background, I was always involved in that swim department. Went along one day to look at a guy who I'd heard was giving swimming lessons privately in his sort of a pool attached to his house, and it's actually in his garage. And my light switch went on. I thought, this is what I want to do. So hence British Swim School. It wasn't actually called British Swim School at the time, but that's how we started. We built an old, well, we found an old house, Victorian house, with a huge basement, put a pool in the basement, and off we went. And it's, I'm not there, but the, still there 30 years later. Still
is it really?
Great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the company has a very interesting history, so you can say. You talk a little bit, like, about the history of the company?
Yes, it did. As I say, it started in the basement of a house. We bought an old house and grew the business there. And what actually happened was, in England, you didn't really start to teach children until they were about 5 years old, which was great. It wasn't, you know, it was 30 years ago, so it wasn't quite as exposed to swimming as children are today.
Right.
And for purely at the time, a business point of view, I decided, this is ridiculous. I'm sure we could teach four-year-olds. So we started to experiment, and it was very easy to teach four-year-olds. Same method, you know, just swimming forward, going to the wall, etc. And then we thought, well, three-year-olds. And then it started to get a little more difficult to teach a three-year-old to pop up for air, because the head weight and body weight at that point hasn't really changed a great. You know, head's still considerably heavier. And so we started to look, and I began to explore and research, and we found that we could teach little ones, instead of coming up for air when they ran out of breath, to roll over on their backs. And it was absolutely amazing at how easy this could be done by a three-year-old. And then it grew to a two-year-old, and then a one-year-old. And we found this method, and it was just a complete light switch. It was wonderful. And we developed that system from there, and our reputation grew from the ability to not to teach swimming. You know, swimming is a very sort of wide name, but to teach survival skills.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've done that, swimming becomes very, very much easier and can be learnt at a much younger age. And that was how we started the business. And then I came to America and decided I wanted to stay and open my first swim school in a fitness center. And it just grew from there. I now have, we have 17 locations.
Wow,
and
17 locations.
All doing this, really the same methods. And it's the beauty of the method, plus the training, and plus the professionalism that we bring to the industry, that's actually made the business grow. And we went into franchising not that long ago, and things are really catching everybody's excitement. You know, it's we're feeling very fortunate.
It seems like franchising is very appropriate for this type of model, Rita, because, again, as you said, it sounds like it could easily be duplicated, you know, whether it's in Florida or, California or really any part of the world, if you think about it, you know. So it just seems like franchising is a very good fit for this type of business model.
It is an absolutely perfect fit, and especially the way we're doing it. There are some other swim school franchises out there, and they are brilliant, wonderful. I mean, they're great, but they require a great deal of money because you have to build the location. The way ours is structured, it does not require a build-out. What we do is we use existing pools, and we go and we do rentals in different pools, and one of the things that's, you know, makes this so acceptable is that 99% of pools in buildings, in rentals, in fitness centers are very underused. So when we come along with this offer of use of the pool, it becomes a win-win situation, and it becomes affordable for future franchisees. That's the whole thing. They don't have to do a build-out, build a pool, find a building, pay year-round lighting, heating, rent, everything that goes with owning your own locations. And that's why we're hoping that this is going to appeal to people who never thought that they could ever own a swim school, and they certainly can. And hopefully, you know, the statistics are people, you can't do that on the computer. You have to teach swimming. So we're not going to be, we're recession-proof and computer-proof, I think. I hope, anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it doesn't sound like, I mean, technology wouldn't really be a big part of this type of business. Would I mean, I guess like maybe like in the marketing end of things, or I don't know if like Facebook or social media.
Absolutely. We use technology to promote British Swim School, to advertise British Swim School, and to run our business more professionally on the booking system. But actually, it will never replace what we do. And it can't. You know, it's just not like the music industry or anything else. You know, we feel very fortunate with that, and it is a great future.
Absolutely. There were some alarming statistics, too. I saw, Rita, this morning when my wife and I were on the website. We saw, I guess, as far as, like, childhood death goes, I don't know if it was, like, the number one cause of, was it children under 5 or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, it is. In certain states, it is. And then it very rarely in any state drops below the number 2. Florida is the number 1, you know, accidental cause. I think in the hot climates, it is. In the cooler climates, it's still hugely
it's
high
up there.
In the, And the sad thing about childhood drowning is this. One tends to think it happens to children who are not loved or not monitored or neglected. And that's absolutely not true. You know, it happens completely across all socioeconomic levels. People who adore their children, people who've got one child or got 5 children. It just is horrendously accidental. It is a true accident. But it's one that could be avoided by preempting it rather. You know, a car accident you can't preempt. You just learn to drive properly. But it can still happen. It's somebody else's fault. With swimming, if you have gone along and done the training for your little one to give that child an absolute 99.9% chance by the training that you do, you can avoid it. It can be avoided, not the accident, but the tragic results of the accident is what you hope to avoid by teaching survival skills in water. You know, nothing's ever a guarantee. And, of course, we always insist that parents are vigilant all the time. It doesn't replace it, but it does happen. And if it does and your child has learnt to survive in water, then you just give yourself a much better chance. And that's what our teachers are taught. At British Swim School, we don't teach anything but survival until that child can do it. And once it's able to do it, we go on to teach swimming. And that's the way we do it. And when you're looking for your child, look for those, you know, those statistics.
Things
or look
first,
for that
right.
Method. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so important. Yeah. We've been doing this show now over 5 years, and it seems like we've had almost every industry on the show, but we haven't had yours on the show yet, so you're a first.
Great. You know, I like being a first.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we were so excited. We said, here's one for our library, you know, because we feel like we've done it all, but we haven't. Are there any numbers on this industry? I mean, it seems like the market for your business is pretty huge. I mean, it was interesting when you were, you know, from 5-year-olds to 4-year-olds. I mean, you kept opening up the market. The market kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it was very clever on your part to do that. But are there any numbers for this industry as far as how big it is?
In swims, well, I belong to the United States Swim School Association, which is an association of private swim schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there are about 400, 450 members, all who have incredibly good swim schools throughout the country. But you're absolutely right in your comment about not knowing much about the industry. That is, I think, the biggest problem that we have.
Yes,
But over the generations, when people teach children to swim, their first thoughts are the Red Cross and the Y. And
it
seems to have been a monopoly of, not that they've monopolized, but the thought process has been that's the place. Yeah.
Right.
And whilst I have absolute admiration for those organisations, there are now growing alternatives who do different things in different ways, and that's good for the industry as a whole. And people, the problem that we have found in our industry is that it tends to be an industry that young people go into between college and school or an additional income without the knowledge, and it is the knowledge, that it can be a hugely successful future, both personally and financially. And this is probably where our industry needs to educate the public that not only are we phenomenal at what we do, because we do it, and that's all we do. You know,
right.
We don't have other things. But there is a business future in the swim school industry, a future that can be not the most rewarding future in both aspects, in finance and privately, personally, you know, emotionally. Because I've been in it 30 years, and believe me, I don't miss a day where I'm not glad to go to work. It's almost, you know, I feel incredibly lucky. I'm leading a good business life, you know. And so that's, I think that's the big gap in knowledge, that all these people who enter, nobody goes to school, even people doing a sports degree, and come out thinking, oh, I think I'll open a swim school, because they don't know. And that's what we're trying to educate people on, that there is a phenomenal business adventure there for. And I said adventure on, you know, deliberately. As well,
right.
As adventure.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's well said. You know, it really does seem like a feel-good type of business, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, where your Mondays are probably just as exciting as your Fridays and Saturdays and all that other stuff, you know. So I think it's fantastic. So what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you? You've been doing this a long time now, and it's all to narrow it down to one thing.
Oh, my goodness.
But
yeah, that's so hard.
Is there anything that stands out?
There is, actually, but it's a byproduct. I was approached by one of the top families in Trinidad a few years ago. They have an autistic child, very severely autistic.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to come over to the island. They wanted to fly a friend of mine who is a speech therapist and myself over to the island for 2 weeks to work with children who have severe difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that, I think, 3 times over a period of 2 years. And that was wonderful, but the end result of that was about a year after I had finished with that, I get a call. Well, we stayed in touch, of course, but one of the things, she got on the phone to me one day and she said, I cannot tell you, I believe that teaching Rebecca to swim has prolonged her life by many years. This was a child who was severely autistic, who was almost immobile. She couldn't run, she couldn't jump, she couldn't take part in any physical exercise, but she adored swimming once she could swim. And she reckoned her muscle tone, her chest, you know, so that her chest infections, etc., just became a thing of the past because she swam every day. And I think that will stay with me my whole life, you know. So
wow.
I know that that's one of many I could quote you, but that was wonderful too.
Yeah.
Yes, it really was.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, it was a great story. And we do get calls about children who have fallen into pool and they found them, you know, 2 minutes later, but on their backs, perfectly healthy and well. And those things happen all the time. So, you know, I could write a book. I actually have, but it's not in that vein.
This is the next book. Well, I saw the testimonials on the website too, by the way, which were, you know, of course it's so positive, you know, but it's just, I mean, they made a lot of sense. I mean, when you read those kind of testimonials, you realize and you understand how important this type of service is, you know.
It's
very interesting. So what kind of characteristics would you look for in your franchisees then, Rita? Anything stand out?
Yes and no, because we have, I'll quote you, two very, very successful franchisees that we have. And one of them is a lover of swimming, a lover of children, but she is a terrifically organized, powerful businesswoman. And she has grown from one location to 5, and each one of them is doing incredibly well. Our other person that I'm quoting is a guy who has come from a passionate teaching background, and he's not been easily transferred into the business world. But working with him, we have helped him structure, you know, he's kept to the swim side of his business and brought in people to work on the business side. So, you know, I think we are very fortunate in being able to have a supply supply of different characters within the industry. The passion is terrific, and the business sense is terrific. But I think I'm not yet sure which one is better, because they're both doing amazingly well, and so it gives us a wide range. I'm very interested in the veterans coming back. I think British Swim School for some of the veterans would be probably a wonderful adventure. And again,
it sounds like
adventure,
you could follow the system, you know, for your business model. I mean, it sounds like, you know, no matter who you are, you could be successful with it, you know.
I'm beginning to believe that. Yes, I'm beginning to believe that, because it is a very a learnable business. I'm sure that's correct. Good English for an English woman.
It's teachable, right? It's teachable,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Not all businesses are. I think there's some, you know, we've been doing the show for 5 years now. We've had all sorts of models on the show, you know, and some of them are a little more complicated, I think, to learn than others. But, you know, in analyzing this one, it seems very teachable and it seems very learnable. So how does the training work then? Like, I mean, once someone decides, they say, you know what, this is right up my alley. I want to become a franchisee. What happens after that point? Is there training? And
yes, so a lot of training. We send them our manuals in advance, and they study it for as long as they need, really. And then we bring them down either to Florida to train them, or we do have two other locations that we can, you know, that we might take them to for training.
Right.
And they spend at least a week with us, and then we will continue training if they need them. And then one of the things that we work with a franchise consultant who has been an absolute treasure. And one of the things from day one when we were developing our franchise, he taught us that we have to be the best franchisors that we can possibly be, to the extent of putting everything we have into making our franchisees the best.
Yeah.
And that's how we started, and that's how we will grow. So we are going to be the best franchisors to make our franchisees the best. And whatever they will need to get them absolutely up to where we want them to be, we will do. It's especially in the early days, you know, because it is great to have backup, and we will be providing that completely. You know, we will be there for them. So they will come down and learn and work with our staff and work with our managers, and then they will go back. Then we will help them find locations, and they will have all the manuals to teach them how to start negotiating and advertising and all our teaching methods, everything that we could, that we've, the only thing they won't make on have is my mistakes, because you make those through 30 years, and they're definitely not included in the manual.
That's well said, and that's the benefit of getting into franchising, isn't it, is that they don't have to make the same mistakes that the franchisor made, you know, so I think it's wonderful that you said that. What would a typical day be like for a British Swim School franchisee, Rita, if there's such a thing?
Well, there isn't an absolute typical one, but there is definitely, there's almost two sides to the business. There's the office side and the teaching side, and it depends on, you know, our franchise or our franchisee's love of what he does. But we open our office, which can be, I mean, our franchisees now have become so successful, they have physical offices, but it can start in the coffee, you know, it can start with a select line. And they will look at what's coming over the weekend, they will recall people to book them into classes, and they will find out the level of the children and the level of the classes they want to go into, or we decide that they go into. The next thing would be, it depends on whether they're growing sites or they're comfortable with what they have. There's move up, so children, we have seven different levels, or approximately seven, and there's looking at people who've called in for children who've advanced to the next level. So we do a lot of calls. The mornings are very much calling, unless we have morning classes, of course, and that, you know, it's depending on whether your day is in the office or you're teaching or whatever level it is. But we usually have a couple of times a week, if not more, we have morning classes. So that person might be the teacher, or he might be observing at his location. Believe me, you need probably 24 hours of working time in each day, but we don't have it. So, you know, there is never nothing to do.
That's
for sure. And we do a lot of work in the late part of the day, you know, when children come out of school from 2:30, 3 o'clock onwards until 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, depending on how big the location is and the growth of the location. So you have a... And that's one part of the business. The other part is you might spend 2 days a week going out looking for new locations. You may well go out and do promotions or do talks in schools. You know,
right.
We go into schools, we go into hospital staff and teach them, you know, about advertising drowning prevention. It's one of the things I will guarantee any franchisee at British Swim School, and that is you will not be bored. That is 100% certain. Yeah.
It does. No, it sounds like there's a diversity there and different
huge,
things,
yeah.
And
it
keeps things interesting. So I would classify you in studying you, you know, reading about you. I would classify you as an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to our listeners? We call them like aspiring franchisepreneurs. They kind of have it in their head that they want to get into a franchise opportunity. What advice would you give to them, Rita?
Mm. As to purchasing or to purchasing hours?
As to purchasing, I guess, you know, in their quest for buying a franchise, you know, I mean, there's just so many opportunities out there today. I think it's a little overwhelming for someone who says, okay, I want to go into a franchising, and then they probably just don't know where to begin. So what would you say to them from your experience?
I think they have, I think you're right, it is a little overwhelming.
Mm.
I think it depends very much on whether you want a business that you can just sit back and put your money into, and it will work for you.
Right.
I would think most entrepreneurs are people who want to be passionate. They want to have something of their own. They're obviously looking to own their own business. So I would say to most franchisees, future franchisees, look for something that you can get passionate about. You know, if you've been a cook, obviously the food industry is for you. If you've been involved with children, that's where you want to go. And I'm firmly of the belief that if you've got a good system and a good connection with a good system, for example, if you're looking for a children's franchise and that's your passion, coming in with British Swim School would give you that excitement. And I believe that any success, I know my business is successful because I'm always excited about it. So I do believe, obviously you have to look at the people that you're going in, I mean, you're getting into bed with, basically.
Right, of course,
look at,
of course.
And make sure that they're people that you admire and that people that you think are going to support you. Obviously don't stretch yourself financially too far because I think that's scary for any franchisee.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a lot of energy, a lot of vision. But you also, I think one of the big things, you know, someone asked me recently about what did I think was the most difficult thing for a franchisee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great question. And
it is a great question,
My answer was you have to know that your dreams are absolutely there for you, but you also have to know that you have to follow the system.
Yes.
And if you're the kind of person who bucks the system, maybe franchising isn't for you. And if you realize that the system that's being developed is for you, but it is the best that there is because that person who's developed it has made all the mistakes that you're not going to make because you've purchased it. I think with that at the back of your mind and the energy and the dreams, you can't go wrong. You know, I don't believe you can. So but passion is, to me, it's very important. I know that there's other reasons for buying franchises, and maybe I'll come to accept that later on in my career. But to me, passion is if you've got the passion, you'll find the business head.
I agree with you. I think that's where you get that energy from, too, sometimes, you know, what I mean, that you're talking about is when you have that passion, you're excited to go to work in the morning, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that just don't have that, you know, so I think your response is fantastic. So what are your plans for the future? I mean, how big do you guys see yourselves in maybe like 5 years down the road?
I'm trying not to dream because, you know, just to plan. We'd like to have, we do know that, one, British Swim School is affordable. Two, it's a good good system. It's three, you will have amazing support. So, and I've also got this feedback from people who've been in franchising, you know, different consultants, that when we approach them, you know, they think we're a little crazy. What, I don't know what you're talking about. How can you have a... But once they listen to us, everything changes. So if we can light their fire, I can't truthfully believe that we can't light a lot of fires. And I don't think the majority of places in this country have private swim schools. I think there are plenty of us, but this is a vast country, and I think we could we could grow enormously if we can light the fire in people who might want to go along this route. And I don't know, I'm not giving myself numbers. I'd like to be a really good franchise and people to admire us and say, you do a really good job and your franchisees are doing fantastically well in the business world as well as in the personal satisfaction world. But I can't shoot numbers at you because I really don't know. I would like to think we were endless. And we're not confined to America. I mean, really and truly, this can go anywhere. You know,
it's true. It really is universal. I mean, it can apply to Australia, the UK, South America, anywhere in the world. You know, it really is. And that's why it is. It's a very difficult question, you know, not to put you on the spot, but it could be one of those opportunities where, you know, there's tens of thousands of them, quite frankly, you know, so it is interesting.
Correct. All you need is water. Warm water.
Yeah, that's true. All you need is water. That's so true. So what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee and all the services that you guys provide, Rita? Is there any websites they should go to?
Yes. They should just, well, the best website of all is our own. It will set them on the path, and we will respond to anything at all, you know, that comes in. So do not hesitate. Just go to the website, britishswimschool.com, very simple, and that will take you to everything that you need to know, including my consultant and myself. And we will, if we don't get back to you within probably 2 hours of your inquiry, then we're probably...
Exactly. That's fantastic. Well, it was wonderful to finally get a chance to speak to you, Rita. I've been studying your franchise for some time now, you know, so it's finally great to have you on the show and get to talk to you, you know, and we're going to be watching you, and we'd love to have you guys come back maybe at the end of the year and watch your progression.
That would be great. And get your little one into a really good program.
Will do. Absolutely. It was great to talk to you, Rita.
And you, Marty. Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you so much.
You
have a great day today. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-8255. 877-877-877-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, which podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 5 years and almost 300 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today we're actually going to go back to the most very basic elements of franchising. In fact, we're going to go back 5 years ago to our very first show we did with PB Loco, where Don and I get into the defining the word franchise. We use references like the great Dave Thomas. So I think you'll enjoy this edition.
You know, the criteria they filled out, what they'd be comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think probably another good place to start, Don, is to, you know, define the word franchise, you know, because a lot of times when I ask my business students for the definition of a franchise, their response is typically the same. You know, they'll say to me, McDonald's or Subway or Quiznos. And, you know, yesterday before the show, you know, I looked up the word franchise in the Oxford Dictionary, and it defines a franchise as follows. It says, an authorization granted by a company to sell its goods or services in a particular way. And, you know, that's a good definition, but it doesn't really help an aspiring entrepreneur understand what franchising really is. And I know you had a good definition we were speaking about from the book Franchising for Dummies, which I think is written by the great Dave Thomas, who's gone on to, you know, bigger and better things.
Right, right.
But I don't know if you have that.
CEO of Wendy's. Yeah, I do have that. It's a book written by him and Michael Seid of H. Seid and Associates. I thought it was a, you know, really great definition. It's a little lengthy, but I think it really sums it up, the definition of what is a franchise.
Right.
And it basically says franchising is a system for expanding a business and distributing goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
And an opportunity to operate a business under a recognized brand name.
Good.
For example, Wendy's doesn't franchise hamburgers.
Right.
And Midas, the, you know, muffler franchise, they don't franchise car mufflers.
Right.
They franchise business systems that deliver hamburgers and mufflers to customers with consistency of the products and services and also the customer experience. It says a franchise occurs when a business, which is called the franchisor, the franchise corporate office is called the franchisor. They license its trade name, which is the brand, such as Wendy's or Midas, and its operating methods, which is a system or their system of doing business, to a person or group. The person investing in the franchise is called the franchisee.
Okay.
So I think that's important to bring out somebody's terms, because
absolutely,
you know, the franchisee is going to be the owner of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The franchisor is the, you know, is the Wendy's or the Midas.
Right.
The franchisee, by buying into the franchise system, they agree to operate according to the terms of the contract. That's called the franchise agreement.
Okay.
The franchisor provides the franchisee with support and in some cases exercises some control over the way the franchisee operates under the brand.
Okay.
So that's what we mean before about the pros and cons. You know, you're in business for yourself. You have a much higher chance of success, but you're under the...
But you're not by yourself, as you say. You know,
right.
Franchising is, you know, being in business for yourself, but not by yourself. It, you know, one of the words that you said in that definition, Don, which, by the way, I mean, I think is probably the best definition I've seen, you know, since being involved in franchising, is the most important word is system. And it, what we mean by system is kind of like a method of doing things so you get the same result every single time.
Right.
And the analogy that I typically give, Don, is that, you know, the franchisor is the teacher and the franchisee is the student. And it's very important that the student, who's the franchisee, trust as well as listen to the teacher, or the, who in this case is the franchisor. And they also must be willing to totally follow the system and not try to reinvent the wheel. Otherwise,
it's already a proven system and
absolutely
concept. That's why they're buying into it, paying a franchise fee, paying royalties. It's already a
successful
proven system. That's why they're investing in a franchise, much lower failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Yeah, the key word system is very important here, because someone doesn't have to go into and set up all this marketing and all these different things involved with starting up a business on their own. It's already been done. I mean, it's already done for you. You just have to follow the system, and if you,
right,
if you do that, you're going to be successful in most cases.
Absolutely, and I think that's what can make it difficult for some entrepreneurs, Don, is because, you know, some people are so entrepreneurial that they don't have the ability to follow a system. You know, it's kind of like, the example I give is, you know, you buy a McDonald's franchise and you say, you know what, I think that this cheeseburger is going to taste better with four pickles and a little more mustard, you know, and you just start trying to reinvent all these different things. It's not necessary with franchising. You have to be willing to totally follow that system. Otherwise, it's not for you, and that's why franchising isn't for everyone. And that's, you know, franchisers certainly don't want somebody coming into their system and trying to reinvent things. You know, you don't have to do that.
Right. It's a good point. I speak to franchisors all the time, necessarily don't want to recruit or find an investor who's had a background in their industry to invest in them, because
absolutely
they might want to do things their way. If things start off a little slow, they want people coming in fresh who can be trained, learn their system, and do things exactly what's been successful with their other franchise owners. So
I agree. You know, another example I give, Don, is I call it the entrepreneurial scale, where, you know, I would ask somebody, I'd say, you know, how entrepreneurial are you on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, 1 being low and 10 being the highest. You know, and if somebody said to me that they're a 9 or a 10, I think I would push that person away from franchising, you know, because, again, these are typically people who are just so entrepreneurial that, you know, their mind is always going and they just want to reinvent things over and over. And, you know, so those people should not go into franchising, you know. So
right.
It's very interesting points, you know.
Yeah, and just one last part to finish up the definition of what is a franchise.
Good.
I mentioned it before, but for people not really familiar with the franchise concept, it says for all this service the franchisor will give, it says, in exchange, the franchisee usually pays the franchisor an initial fee called a franchise fee.
Right.
And then a continuing ongoing fee. I mentioned a word before. That's called a royalty. You know, usually could range in the 2 to 5% range. It includes advertising and everything, but the franchisee will pay a royalty. And that's basically for the use of the trade name and all the operating methods and system that we're talking about. So I think that's a great definition of, you know, the word franchise. It really just sums it all up in just a few paragraphs.
Absolutely.
You know, and as weeks go on, we're going to be using these words a lot.
Absolutely.
Franchisee, franchisor. So that's why we think it's important to kind of just throw these terms out in the first show, just to
I agree.
People understand it.
I agree. We have, you know, some of those definitions actually posted on our show page for World Talk Radio too, Don. But